SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS News.
In the Taliban's Afghanistan, there are few opportunities for women to financially support their families. Many beg on the streets. Roya was able to finish her university studies before the Taliban restrictions. Now she can't work.
The Taliban's restrictions didn't just take away my job. I think they took away my identity and a part of my future because I was an independent girl, standing on my own feet and making my own decisions. But unfortunately, I think I was left out of all these situations.
Roya's name has been changed for her safety. She has told us her future looks bleak.
This situation has not only destroyed my life, but I think it has also silently destroyed the future of a generation of Afghan women.
Afghan women experienced harsh suppression under the first Taliban rule in the 1990s, but the post-Taliban era from 2001 saw significant gains for women. This is Zaki Haidari from Amnesty International Australia.
Women could have, some rights. They could go to university. We had a parliament where we had women MP in all sort of government offices and public spaces.
Despite social change, in 2011, Afghanistan was named the most dangerous place in the world to be a woman. Contributors including high level of violence, poor healthcare, and poverty. In August 2021, after 20 years of war, the US withdrew and the Taliban reclaimed power. Since then, rights for women and girls were rapidly rolled back. This is Haidari again.
The international communities were hoping that this was a Taliban version 2. They will give women some movement and some rights. That was all false. So in the past 4 years, women have been completely erased from public space.
Among the restrictions, women and girls have been banned from accessing secondary education and university. They can't work in most sectors and are excluded from political participation. Women cannot travel more than 75 kilometers without a male escort, and they are forbidden from speaking in public. SBS contacted the Taliban to put specific questions to them, but received no response. In an interview from August 2025 with SBS Pashto, Zabiullah Mujahid, a Taliban spokesperson, called the ban on women and girls from accessing education a, quote, temporary decision.
It was initially stated that this is a temporary decision and that the needs would be assessed. We want to find a way that respects our Sharia principles and also achieves consensus in society.
Afghanistan's ambassador to Australia in exile, Wahidullah Waisi, calling on the community to unite for
greater advocacy for the girls and women of Afghanistan, which are under the biggest repressive regime, which we call it gender apartheid.
According to the United Nations, an estimated 45% of the population are in need of humanitarian assistance. Of those, more than three quarters are women and children. Dr. Niloufar Ebrahimi fled Afghanistan in 2021 after the Taliban takeover. Having worked as a gynecologist and then a politician, Afghanistan's women and girls are never far from her mind.
Women in Afghanistan are living in the darkest period of history, and the world should not remain silent in the face of this darkness. They do not have the right to leave their homes, they do not have the right to study, they do not have the right to work, and they do not even have the right to speak loudly in public.
From Canberra, Dr. Ebrahimi runs the Zamzam Foundation, which aims to support and empower women and girls. The main focus, running secret schools in Afghanistan, where girls risk everything to attend classes and learn.
Our
students are approximately 60 girls, and most of them have no fathers, and a number of them were poor girls who sold bread on the streets to help their families financially.
Mariam was in year five when the Taliban banned girls from secondary school. Her name has been changed for her safety.
I want to go to university in the future, study law and political science, because I want to be able to serve Afghan girls and the Afghan people in the future.
The Australian government has provided more than $260 million in aid to Afghanistan since the Taliban takeover, which it says has been delivered with a strong focus on women and girls. A further $50 million is allocated for this financial year. A departmental spokesperson told SBS,
"The Australian government is committed to supporting the people of Afghanistan, who are enduring one of the world's most protracted humanitarian crises."
SBS understands the aid is provided in line with autonomous and UN Security Council sanctions, ensuring it does not directly benefit the Taliban. With no presence in Afghanistan, Australia's funding is provided to UN agencies. SBS understands this has included the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs and the World Food Programme. This is Arafat Jamal, the representative of the UNHCR in Afghanistan.
The overall picture for women is very bleak, whether it's in education or jobs. At the same time, and I think this is really the strength of the United Nations and why the funding that Australia and others provide is so essential, is that with that funding, we do have leverage, and that leverage helps those who want to help women.
With severe restrictions, women can still work in areas such as primary school teaching, healthcare, and some forms of handicrafts. Jamal, again?
For example, there's a town called Herat in the west, a beautiful town, where we had built a three-story mall for women by women. And I asked them, well, do you not have visits from the morality police? Do you not get harassed? And they said, no. One, the community sees this as a tangible asset. They value it.
According to a forecast from the United Nations, about $1.7 billion are required to reach those in urgent need in Afghanistan this year. That is a 29% reduction in resources in comparison to 2025. Mujib Munib, SBS News.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work